This is Radio Superior 1940, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes, station KUWS. It's Thursday, July 18th, 1940, and this is Jack McKenna speaking. You're about to hear history in the making, good listeners. Lou Martin is standing by with the 6 o'clock news. We've also got news from a big Bayfield County slot machine investigation. Ray has sports, and we've got the best music from the 1940 hit parade. So, hang on. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Ford Hopkins, your discount drugstore. Witch Hazel's on sale for 13 cents a bottle, and Epsom salts, 14 cents for 5 pounds. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The tradition is broken. The Democrats have nominated FDR to a third term as president. John Hightower is in Chicago.
Hightower here. President Roosevelt is expected to officially accept his overwhelming nomination to an unprecedented third.
This is Radio Superior 1940, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes, station KUWS. It's Thursday, July 18th, 1940, and this is Jack McKenna speaking. You're about to hear history in the making, good listeners. Lou Martin is standing by with the 6 o'clock news. We've also got news from a big Bayfield County slot machine investigation. Ray has sports, and we've got the best music from the 1940 hit parade. So, hang on. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Ford Hopkins, your discount drugstore. Witch Hazel's on sale for 13 cents a bottle, and Epsom salts, 14 cents for 5 pounds. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The tradition is broken. The Democrats have nominated FDR to a third term as president. John Hightower is in Chicago.
Hightower here. President Roosevelt is expected to officially accept his overwhelming nomination to an unprecedented third term in a radio address tonight from Washington. Mr. Roosevelt will not make an appearance here. Instead, First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt will arrive tonight. Her speech, too, will set a precedent as the first time the wife of the president will make a major address to the convention delegates. South Carolina Senator Jimmy Burns notified President Roosevelt of his nomination by telephone. Senator Burns and Secretary of State Cordell Hull both withdrew their names from consideration for vice president, clearing the way for FDR's choice of Agriculture Secretary Henry Wallace. The 51-year-old Wallace, a former Republican, has served in the cabinet since the president took office in 1933. He replaces two-term Vice President John Nance Garner, who opposes FDR's third term. Congressman Elmer Ryan of Minnesota offered an amendment to limit presidents to two terms, but was drowned in a storm of boos. With that, the business of nominating a president began. Senator Lister Hill of Alabama climbed through the crowd to the speaker's stand. Quoting Senator Hill, "If America is to survive, we must now give the best that there is in us and in the cause of freedom and law and justice. I place in nomination that valiant American, Franklin Delano Roosevelt." The stadium floor became a mass of yelling, dancing, and pushing for 23 minutes, until convention chairman Senator Alvin Barkley of Kentucky called it to order. Postmaster General James Farley and Vice President Garner's names were then nominated. Ignoring the president's message that he had no desire nor purpose to serve a third term, breaking the 144-year tradition of two terms set by President George Washington, delegates voted to renominate him 946 to 149. One of the biggest rounds of applause came when Senator Robert Wagner of New York told delegates of President Roosevelt's pledge to not participate nor send troops or ships or air forces to foreign lands except in the case of attack. The convention did approve giving aid to victims of ruthless aggressors. At Chicago Stadium, this is John Hightower reporting.
Republican nominee Wendell Willkie says it's now up to the voters to pass on the question of a third term. Mr. Willkie was in Central City, Colorado, when he got the news of the president's nomination. He says he's gratified, and it ought to be a great campaign. He described the president as the author and advocate of a New Deal. In news overseas, the European war continues to pound England and Germany. We begin our World Shortwave Report with Max Jordan in Berlin.
This is the Third Reich, Max Jordan reporting. The Battle of Britain continues today with German Luftwaffe air raids on the great British training camp and military base at Aldershot. German bombs fell on ports, industrial areas, and harbor works in South and Central England. A communique adds that fires were observed everywhere by German pilots as they flew home. While London itself has never been bombed, Aldershot is just 35 miles to the southwest. Perhaps most significantly, the Nazi Navy landed German troops on the island of Quissant. Quissant is the westernmost port off the coast of Brittany, France. It is considered by many to be part of preparations for the invasion of the British Isles. So far, 10 major naval bases have been established on the French coast by German occupiers, putting them just 42 minutes by ship from British shores. In Berlin, this is Max Jordan calling the Far East. Come in, Tokyo.
This is Tokyo, Japan. Your correspondent, Daryl Berrigan, reporting. A new totalitarian regime has been set up here, a regime expected to cater to the military's desire for expansion into the Asian South Seas. The quadrumvirate includes Prince Konoye, American-educated Yosuke Matsuoka, General Iki Tojo, and Vice Admiral Zengo Yoshida, all ardent nationalists. No sooner had the ruling council been announced than a spokesman lashed out at the United States. This week, U.S. Secretary of State Cordell Hull condemned Japan's closing of the Burma Road to China. The council spokesman said that is, quoting now, uncalled for intervention in the wrong place, unquote. He says it puts unwarranted obstacles to Japan's ability for world trade. America has long been critical of what it calls Japan's war of aggression in Manchukuo, the former Manchuria, and Indochina. In Tokyo, this is Daryl Berrigan reporting.
KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has this message from Ford Hopkins Drugstore.
Indeed I have, Lou. Just listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, from Ford Hopkins. Candy bars, 3 cents apiece. Those are all nickel bars, ordinarily. Adhesive tape, 3 cents, a 10-cent value. I tell you, folks, you can't believe the bargains they have at Ford Hopkins Drugs. It's a discount drugs, like a sports bag, smart-looking, canvas, 98 cents. How about that? Electric fans, 10-inch oscillating, $4.95. Boy, oh boy, it just gets better and better, but you have to see for yourself when you go there. Ford Hopkins Drug in Superior. Hey, Lou, they've got all this picnic stuff at Ford Hopkins. Makes me feel like going to a picnic when we get off. Maybe head to Wisconsin Point with the girls.
The girls? I'll ask Harriet to come along, but, well, I didn't know that you were seeing anyone.
You'll get to meet her in just a few minutes, buddy. You'll be interviewing her about the Bayfield slot machine thing.
You know what I told you the last time about setting up interviews for me. Clowns and magicians and stuff.
Whoa, she's no clown. And I think she'd like to go on a picnic, too.
I do have a newscast here, if you don't mind.
But this is why people like to listen to us. We're spontaneous.
That's good. Spontaneous. Newsmen are supposed to be serious and thus trusted and believable.
I believe you. Who wouldn't believe Lou Martin?
Thank you. The National Guard in Superior has been given orders to mobilize. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has this exclusive story.
This is a direct effect of what's happening in Europe, and for that matter, what's now happening in Japan and the Far East. We've learned from a highly authentic, confidential report in St. Paul that National Guard units from Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, including Superior and Duluth, will be mobilized and sent to Texas for training. The Guard units will leave October 1st. Because this is still under wraps, local Guard units aren't sure if that means every member will be ordered out or not. Superior is the headquarters for the 120th Artillery Field Battalion and the Medical Corps of the 128th Infantry. There is talk that married members of these units will be exempt. Local doctors associated with this unit may be compelled to leave the city for the duration of the training. Finally, we've been told that the training area will be in San Antonio, Texas. Lou?
Thanks, Mike. Big news for many families in the Twin Ports. A Washburn County woman's plea to keep her two sons together in the Marine Corps apparently touched the hearts of the military brass in Washington. Mrs. Sig Williams of Stone Lake asked U.S. Senator Alexander Wiley that her 19 and 21-year-old sons be kept together. These two tall northern Wisconsin farm boys, Alan and Billy, have always been pals, says Mother Williams. It seems, while Al was accepted, his brother Billy, being 1 inch taller at 6 feet 5 inches, was rejected as too tall. But now Senator Wiley says the Marine Corps will take Billy, and he's to report to the recruiting office in Chicago. One of the last vestiges of the bad old days of the Great Depression is being collected by the city of Superior. City Treasurer Arthur Prestis says that holders of $20,000 in scrip may redeem it for cash. Scrip was handed out by Superior and many local governments instead of cash as a promissory note. It was intended to keep local governments from being bankrupt. And finally, Jack, a fracas in Rice Lake has local communist activist Lee Corey angry. The Superior laborer says despite pressure from the, quoting now, Governor Hiles and would-be Hitlers, communists will continue to fight for the principles of Abraham Lincoln so that people have jobs and bread. A Communist Party meeting in Rice Lake was stormed by protesters who took the main speakers and dunked them in the lake. Governor Heil, an outspoken anti-communist, praised the action. Mr. Corey says that no one should condone mob violence, especially against a legal political party. And that, Jack, is the news.
They dunked the speakers in Rice Lake?
This is why I must maintain my dignity so that people can believe the news, which is oftentimes unbelievable.
That's Lou Martin with the believably unbelievable news. You can trust Lou. Women always let him hold their purses. Now let's check our forecast for this Thursday evening, July 18th, 1940. Partly sunny skies tomorrow with not much change in temperature, I'm afraid. Today's high was 69 degrees. We may hit 70 tomorrow. Oh, boy. Hey, I promised you good folks some great music tonight. Let's kick it off with the big new sound from Glenn Miller and his orchestra from 1939, last year's big hit, Little Brown Jug, on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank you.
Just love outdoor band concerts. The kids really like that one, Lou. That's Glenn Miller and his orchestra and Little Brown Jug on Station KUWS. There's always so much to do in the good old summertime, Lou.
There's a concert at the Band Shell in Ashland tonight. The Ashland City Band will be playing under the direction of Theodore Mesang. It starts at 8 o'clock.
I just love outdoor band concerts.
And a week from Sunday, the Henry Blomberg VFW Post will hold its annual picnic. It's a big one. It'll be at Billings Park. All members and their families will play games, have races. They'll play baseball against the Cooties. The Cooties won last year 29-2.
Dang Cooties. They probably cheated. Well, thanks, Lou. More of that some summertime music, friends. This is in honor of our Democratic listeners and today's nomination of FDR. Here's Ben Selvin and his orchestra with vocals by The Trio. And Happy Days are here again on the Martin and McKenna Show. 1932, that's Ben Selvin and his orchestra, and Happy Days Are Here Again on station KUWS. Well, speaking of happy days, here's Ray. Hiya, Ray.
Hiya, Jake, and hey. What's this I heard you telling Lou that you got a girlfriend? Say, it ain't so.
I know most people think I'm the untamed, free-spirited guy who plays the field. The man who can't be caught, you know. The unbridled fellow who can't be contained.
Well, I just figured you couldn't get a date.
Wait till you meet her. She's something else. She's from Bayfield County. She's a bartender.
Wow. I'm really impressed.
Well, enough about me. Here's Rapid Ray Paulson with all the sporting news.
Thanks, Jake, and good evening, sporting fans. Welcome to the Barbasol Sports. The Blues of Superior are idle tonight, with manager Chappie Gagan's guys just half a game out of first place in the Northern League. They'll get their cracks at first place Grand Forks next week, but first, travel to Fargo to play the Twins this weekend. Grand Forks notched a 3-0 win over the Duluth Dukes at Forks Park today. The New York Yankees baseball empire is for sale. The rumor mill has the late Colonel Rupert's team signed, sealed, practically delivered to Postmaster General James Farley. The asking price for the Bronx Bombers? $4 million. And wait till Joe Louis hears this. A Columbia Broadcasting System report says former foe Max Schmeling is in training for the German Army. The former heavyweight world champion is learning how to be a Nazi parachute trooper. You know, sport fans, there's a revolution for brushless shaving. It's the new Gem Clog-Proof Razor from Barbasol. Just rub on Barbasol and use your Gem Micromatic single-blade razor for close, comfortable shaving. You get a package of Gem razor blades, a tube of Barbasol, and the chromium-plated razor, all for just 59 cents. In that 5 o'clock shadow. Today, golfer Gene Sarazen, the little fellow with the big swing, wants a rematch between his challengers and the Ryder Cup team. His team lost to the Cuppers at Oakland Hills yesterday, but Sarazen wants to play another round. It's for a good cause, too. This week's contest raised $16,000 for the Red Cross European Relief Fund. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
And thank you, Ray. Hang around a while. Here's a good one by Bunny Berrigan and his orchestra. From May of 1937, this is Swanee River, the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS. Thank you. Berrigan and his orchestra with Swanee River on Station KUWS. Now, Lou, I'd like to welcome our next guest, Bunny Sheridan of Bayfield County. Hiya, Bun.
Yes, hello, Bun. It's with much anticipation that we meet.
I've heard so much about you, Mr. Martin.
Lou, call me Lou.
Oh, then call me Bun.
Okay, Bun.
Lou, Bun, Jack, Ray.
Sounds like something out of the Buck Rogers cereal. Look out, Buck. He's about to shoot his Lou Bun Jack Ray at you. Whoa!
Notice how Jack played a Bunny Berrigan song for me?
And your name is Bunny Sheridan. Yes, I picked up on that. So, Miss Sheridan, Bun, you have something to share with our listeners?
Well, yes, Lou, thank you. Regarding the slot machine situation in Bayfield County, this becomes more scandalous every passing day. This must be corrected immediately, or people will lose faith in their elected officials, and they'll start to believe they are under the control of these slot machine racketeers. It is common knowledge that these slot machines are operated everywhere in Bayfield County except Washburn and Cable. Those are good, clean communities.
Ooh, you mean I could play the slots if I went to, say, Ino?
I've seen them there.
Port Wing?
A regular Sin City.
Wulu Town.
Oh, those Finns are the worst.
If Bun might be allowed to continue, Ray.
Both the district attorney and sheriff are aware of this situation, but refuse to correct it. They give weak, lily-livered excuses, evading the issue. Sheriff Yalmer Frostman has been accused by the undersheriff of malfeasance in connection with these slot machines. On two occasions, the undersheriff confiscated slot machines and arrested the tavern owner, only to be ordered to drop charges and return the slot machines. Then Mr. Frostman fired the undersheriff.
The nerve.
Resort owners and tavern keepers say slot machines attract tourists, but a feud between slot machine operators was directly responsible for the infamous Bulow affair in June of 1939. That ended in a disgraceful lynching in Bayfield County, and that sent tourists running. Oh, before you know it, these gangsters will be controlling elections with their dirty slot machine money. That's all.
Thanks, Bun. On with the music.
Oh, wait a second. These are pretty serious charges with nothing to back them up. It's just one side of things.
Bun is a reliable source, Lois. She's a bartender.
Oh, you big galooga.
She calls me that, but I'm not sure what it means. Anyway, on with the music. Here's Russ Morgan and his orchestra from the 1940 Hit Parade. You're nobody till somebody loves you on the Martin and McKenna Show.
You're nobody till somebody loves you. You're nobody till somebody cares. You may be king, you may possess the world and its gold, but gold won't bring you happiness when you're growing old. The still is the same, you'll never change it. As sure as the stars shine above, you're nobody till somebody loves. So find yourself somebody to love. changes, as sure as the stars shine above. You're nobody till somebody loves you. So find yourself somebody to love.
By special request from me, dedicated to my little bun. That's Russ Morgan and your Nobody There, Somebody Loves You on Station KUWS.
You big palooka.
I have some news flashes from Gibraltar. A bomb attack has killed 3 people in Britain's rock fortress guarding the Mediterranean. Spain's Generalissimo Franco says Spain intends to regain Gibraltar. From London, 5 people are killed in German dive bombing attacks as the Blitzkrieg comes closer to London. Meanwhile, British approve of FDR's nomination for a 3rd term, but believe U.S. aid will continue if Roosevelt or Wilkie are elected in November, Jack.
So, how do you like Bunny?
Well, considering that Bun's still here, I think that she's charming and delightful.
Oh, thank you, Lou. Hey, I want to invite all 3 of you to Bayfield County this weekend.
Hey, say, I could go for a little of that action over there.
Blueberries are ripe all over. The Apostle Island blueberries are very big. And on the Bayfield Peninsula, I know all of the old logging trails we can hike into. Iron River's got its blueberry festival this weekend. There'll be a parade and pageant. Then they'll crown Miss Blueberry. I was Miss Blueberry once, a long time ago.
Didn't I tell you she was something special?
Well, I'll tag along, although I probably won't do a lot of blueberry picking. Of course, if I get 3 lemons or cherries in a row, I'll be living large.
Harriet and I are in. Sounds like an adventure.
Yeah, Lou, Bun, Jack, Ray, and Harry.
Et, Harry, et.
Got to get into the monosyllabic mood, Lou. And that's it, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Yes, we'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. That's not a warning. The good Lord willing. And the blueberries aren't on a slot machine. For Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna, then wishing you all a lovely good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1940, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, John Munsell, Joey Laporte. All events reported on Radio Superior 1940 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this same time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.